Got to be one of those stem winders, you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody loves to hear about apathy. It's something that, as I mentioned earlier when we were doing the announcements and things, a month or so ago, Lord just revealed to me, you know, it just seems like there's apathy in the church. And I talked to another pastor here in town, and he was seeing the similar thing. And when we defined it, you know, it just kind of witnessed, you know, with this is how we need to be careful. You know, some people allow themselves to get sucked into the world system, then it's kind of hard to get out like a drain, you know, the water going down. They get off in that current, and then it just seems like they go down, and it's tough. So we have to, you know, the Bible talks about resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, so we need to apply resistance in our life, you know, to stay away from the things of the world. Now, we don't want to be so separate from the world that we're no earthly good, but on the other hand, we need to be wise, because sometimes, you know, we can all get into a funk and kind of feel lazy about everything. Have you ever had that happen in your life where you feel just kind of lazy? I think everybody goes through that every now and then, but it's dangerous when we get into a funk when it comes to the things of God. You know, it's a spiritual attack, and that's what I think's been going on this summer, and we've watched some people fall, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully they'll get back up again. But when they fall victim to the enemy, it means we kind of lost our way a little bit. We need to get back to where we need to be, so we need to fight back and take back the ground that the devil's tried to take from us, and that's what it is. It's, you know, really, in Christianity, sometimes it's like trench warfare. It's that old time. Right now we fight, you know, with drones and all that stuff where you don't get your hands dirty. But back in the day when you had to fight, you know, you would dig in and you would just try to keep taking back ground that the enemy had taken. And that's what we need to do. And as we look at these scriptures on apathy today, you know, because if spiritual apathy is not dealt with, it can lead to apostasy. And apostasy is talking about falling away from God. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know, everybody's here probably maybe not struggle with it. I think we all do in some ways. You know, but, you know, the idea also talks about Ephesians. Sometimes when, you know, Paul mentioned about preaching the gospel, sometimes you're preaching to the principalities and powers. You know, remind the devil that he's been defeated. You know, the devil forgets things. He's forgotten that he's been defeated. And we need to remind him. We need to remind him in our walk, because if we don't, we start taking things for granted, and then he comes in and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to start off today with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5. I'm just going to share a few scriptures today and just kind of see how the Lord leads us. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the stirring of the Spirit here today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way. We acknowledge that you are the teacher, the revealer, the one who brings revelation knowledge to our hearts. Lord, let every word I say that is from me fall lifeless to the ground. But those who are from you, Lord, let them pierce and penetrate our hearts today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation, and for your anointing here that breaks the yoke of bondage on our lives. And Lord, we offer this up to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, the Apostle Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? Nod, amen? Yeah, that's how it worked. Anyway, so it was letters to this church, because he was challenging the Corinthian church to examine themselves rather than examining him. For whatever reason, I don't understand it, is the fact that they didn't think Paul was anointed by God all the time. Maybe he wasn't as fancy or flashy. You know, there was the Greeks really loved to have people come through, and they would express some new thought or some revelation. And they love to debate and to think. And maybe the Apostle Paul, you know, he's probably motivational gift was that of teaching. Maybe he didn't present the information as exciting as they wanted. So they maybe doubted the call upon his life. And for me, that's hard to believe. This man was a machine. I mean, he just kept coming. He, like I always say, he made the Terminator look like a joke, you know. Paul just kept getting up. He just kept getting up. He'd be stoned to death. They thought he was dead. He'd just get up again. You know, they'd sink him out in the sea. He'd float around until he got out, come out, and then he'd keep preaching, keep planting churches. Just kept going. So Paul is telling this church here, said, hey, quit looking at me and examining my spiritual walk. Look in the mirror. Examine yourself. And see, that's what we need to do. Some people don't like tests. You know, we've always called them opportunity sheets. You know, when you take a test, nobody likes a test, you know, because then you got to study and you got to find out what you know. But how many knows it's beneficial to find out what you know? And it's beneficial to find out what you don't know. Because then you can find out, I need to know that. You know? Hey, that was pretty good, wasn't it? It kind of rolled that way. Anyway, you know, the idea of finding out what we know about God, where we're at in the faith, and it says a couple things here. First, it says the test. And the test, what that word's talking about is to try to learn the nature or character of someone or something by submitting such to thorough and extensive testing, meaning to learn the quality or content of something. It's kind of like when they used to assay metals, you know. I can't know if I'm saying that word right, but anyway, roll with me. A-S-S-A-Y is how you spell it. Anyway, they would heat them up, and different metals would melt at certain temperatures better. And then when you heated it up, they could tell what was in the silver and the cruddy stuff, the dross is what they called it. It would come to the top, and they would wipe it away. And they'd keep doing that until finally they got silver that had been refined. And that's what the book of Psalms says, silver that's been refined 7 times to get to the purity of it. And see, that's what God wants us to get to, is the purity of the faith. Wipe out all that wrong thinking. Because you and I, when we approach the gospel, we bring our baggage, don't we? You know, we all come from different maybe walks of life, maybe different family lifestyles of how we've been raised and all these life experiences that we've been through. And we come into the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know, and we may approach it from a little different angle based on what we've experienced. So then we got to cipher through all that stuff and, you know, try to get on the same page. Hopefully we're on the same page with God. I mean, that's the goal, right? The Bible says His ways are not our ways, but they can be if we adapt, if we change, if we allow the Word of God to come in and transform us. And then we start to look at life and look at people and things as God sees them. I mean, that's a goal. That's an awesome thing to have happen. Then we don't get sucked in, you know, to the world system. So that's what that testing is about. Then he goes on to say here, examine it. Means to prove if something's worthy or not. You know, what is it, you know, in our life that is worthy and what in our life is not. So the reason why Paul was writing this was the second letter to the Corinthians, and he was telling them that the next time that he's going to come, he's going to show no mercy to obstinately incooperative Christians, Christians who don't want to be a part of the team, Christians who want to just bring dissension and problems in the body of Christ, those who don't want to be taught. Paul said, hey, you want it, you got it, here I come. I'm going to straighten this stuff out right now. Because he was the apostle. He was the head. He's the one who planted these churches. And he wanted them to fall in line and to be able to understand the things of God that, hey, buddy, hey, sister, it's not about you. It's not about what you think or what you want. It's about what God wants. And that's what was happening, is that they got that these people had gotten apathetic about the things of God. And they fall victim to, like, you know, we talked about when we talked about Samson, is that in the book of Judges, that everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And see, that's what the problem, and see, that's what happened there, is they, God would, you know, allow them to go down the road the wrong way a little bit. And then finally, when, you know, somebody would cry out to God because they got in so much trouble, and then God would send a judge, and then the judge would bring them back in line, and then that judge would die, and then they go off road again, you know. Just kind of a terrible pattern they would get into. But, you know, we don't have to live like that, because God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that it wasn't going to work with him on the outside. So God did something great when he sent his son to die, and now we can have God living inside of us. So we don't really need to get led astray anymore, as long as we are sensitive to the things of God. Amen. And not allow the things of the world to come in and to try to grab our attention, to get us into trouble, you know, because sometimes we're scared to let go of some things. You know, like the story of how they hunt monkeys sometimes in another culture, they would put these shiny objects inside of a cage, and then the monkey would stick their arm in there to grab the shiny thing, and when they made a fist, their hand wouldn't fit back through. And then the hunter would come up and capture the monkey, maybe hit him in the head, even kill some of them. And that monkey would not let go of that shiny object, even to save its own life, because it wanted that so bad. I mean, I wonder how many things are we grabbing a hold of in this world that we know is maybe detrimental to our walk and damaging to the relationships that we have with other Christians and to God, and we're not willing to let go of those things. That's why Paul was challenged this church here, hey, have a spiritual checkup. Now, some people go to the doctor, you know, yearly. I don't. You know, I go whatever, you know, as a last resort. You know what I'm saying? That's how I roll. But anyway, you know, some people go to get checked out. Why? You want to make sure you're healthy, your body's operating right. Well, what about our spiritual walk? You know, that's why we need to check ourselves out every now and then. We just can't go, you know, with the flow and just expect everything's okay. I think sometimes we need to stand there for a minute and say, hey, you know, I need to evaluate this. I need to evaluate what I'm doing. Why do I think this way? Why am I responding this way to these circumstances? You know, maybe I've allowed some unbelief to come into my life, but you know, and it's all natural stuff. People, we just deal with it. You know, just that's dross. We just wipe it away. We just wipe it away and get rid of it. And see, the Corinthians thought they were spiritual, but they're really carnal. And you know, you and I can make that same mistake every now and then, and we need to be careful about that. See, it's not about doctrine, but about our thinking and our actions as to moral implications of our faith. I think a lot of times, you know, we get, and I doctrine's important, don't get me wrong. We need purity of doctrine. We need to not go off on the tangents and get off into weird stuff, and we need all that. But, you know, if we're more hooked up on memorizing a scripture rather than living that scripture, then we got a problem. If we can just quote it, you know what I mean? If we can just quote a scripture, but yet we're not living that scripture, that's not really how it's supposed to work. Because we've got to be concerned about the moral implications of that scripture and what it means. It means we've got to get it down inside of us. Let it be a part of our life. And when we do that, then there's transformal change that is happening. And, you know, it all comes back to the old saying, we need to practice what we preach. You know, and I'll be honest, as a pastor or a preacher, whatever, you know, there's a lot I'm accountable for. Because I say a lot of things sometimes, don't I? You know, and if I say this stuff, I have to live it. Or it's a joke, you know. And to the best of my ability, I try to do that. See, it's I didn't like growing up, you know, my parents used to have the old saying, and you've heard this in the old, you can't really pull that off with this new generation. They got too much cell phone stuff. But anyway, the old do as I say, not as I do, you know, that doesn't work anymore. It used to work on us kids. We were maybe naive, I don't know. But we used to just do what our parents told us within reason. And of course, we got spanked a lot. You know, maybe that was part of the problem too. I don't know. Maybe didn't like get whoopings. But, you know, today a lot of people, hey, timeouts don't really fix a kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing that out there. We'll debate that later. So it's not how much scripture we can quote, but how much we can live. That's where we want to be. That's the challenge I want to throw out today about apathy. Now, we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 9 for a moment. Remember, Paul wrote both of these letters. These were really letters to this church. Because what would happen is that somebody would write Paul, and they would tell him about all the problems maybe going on in a church. And these were baby churches. They didn't have Bibles like we got. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have Bibles. You know, it hadn't been written yet. So they would go, and Paul would come and preach, and he would, you know, tell people certain things and all that. And then, you know, sometimes different issues came up in life, and that's what he was dealing with. So Paul was telling, you know, on himself here a little bit. Something that he was willing to do, that he needed to do. He says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all to win? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. But then they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul's just being just point blank honest right here. I mean, he had earned the right, all the things that he'd done, the sacrifices he'd made, the experience that he'd had with Jesus Christ, the revelation. He was just walking in a strong anointing. But here he was warning that, hey, guys, even I have to watch it. Even I have to be careful. You know, I need to take care of these things. See, he challenges here that if you're going to run, run to win. You know, run to win. You know, meaning we need to try. See, grace doesn't mean we have to stop trying. A lot of people get hooked up on grace, and this grace is good. We need it. You know, but, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. You know, they leave, you got to connect the two. And, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talked about, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I labor more. Meaning, just because he has God's grace in his life doesn't mean he just throws up his hands and just say, hey, God, you take care of it. You know what I'm saying? You take care of it, God. No, God's going to take care of it through us. See, God gives us the strength. We need to apply, you know, a little bit of effort in the situation, so that we can do things. And here he tells us that, you know, we need to exercise self-control in all things. See, a lot of times we exercise self-control in a certain area, but we don't let it come over into other areas of our life, but it needs to be in all areas, both the sacred and the secular. So we need to exercise self-control in both the sacred and the secular part of that life. Now, what does that mean? We got the sacred part. The sacred part is just kind of what we're doing today. This is our church family stuff. This is maybe, you know, where we're being informed about the things of God. You know, maybe some, you know, preaching, some exhortation, something that's going to build us up. And so this is holy time. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're careful. We don't cuss in here. You know what I mean? We're, you know, saying please and thank you. You know, we're being a real nice person in here, right? I can't think of anybody here who's not nice. Well, yeah, maybe. But that's the secular side of our walk. Now we have, or the sacred side. Well, then there's a secular side. That's what happens when we go to work tomorrow. You know what I mean? How we deal with other people. You know, and what the problem is sometimes, we're all spiritual with the sacred side, but we check our spirituality at the door on the secular side. And it's not supposed to be that way. You know, we need to take our Christianity in all areas of our life. And that's why Paul was saying here that he exercises this in this discipline in all areas. You know, my dad used to say something where, you know, we about certain people that maybe in business dealings he had, and you know, and he would say they would go to church on Sunday and stab him in the back on Monday. I mean, that's the revelation I got as a little kid about church a little bit. You know, I know it wasn't like that all the time, but that's just the way he thought it was. Because there was a separation between the sacred and the secular. And we need to make that transition where our walk with Christ is all-encompassing in all areas of our life. And because, you know, the world is watching, and we need to keep things under control. And that's why Paul said he disciplined his body. Not that his body was bad, but he was talking about the flesh. Because sometimes you and I just need to tell our flesh to fall in line and march. That's just the way it is. The flesh is the old nature. See, when we're born again, we get a new spirit, and then our soul needs to be transformed. And then part of that soul is, you know, we got that old part of our life that doesn't really want to die yet. Like I mentioned, you know, before, sometimes the devil, he still thinks he's okay. He just doesn't think he's defeated yet. But we know Jesus defeated him at the cross. And he needs to be reminded every now and then. Or he gets a little uppity, doesn't he? Comes up in our stuff. And so then we got to, you know, beat him back. And so we need to make sure that, you know, as we're walking in the things of God, we're speaking the word of God and doing what we're supposed to do, but we got to discipline our flesh because that old nature keeps trying to come back alive. The old man keeps trying to come back, right, ladies? That's a joke, son. Get it? The old man? Anyway, some people call him the old man. Anyway, we see that old man starting to rise up, and we need to put it down and see, do we, this is a question I want us to answer. Do we consider ourselves fact or feeling driven? Meaning, does truth override our feelings, or can our feelings override our truth? Which one do we live by? Do we live by how we feel, or do we live by the truth of what God's word says? Because what happens is that when we get out in life and sometimes maybe we allow ourselves to get separated from maybe some godly counsel in our life and some things, however that works, and then we start going by our feelings. And so how do I feel? I mean, how do I feel about this? Do I feel like reading the Bible today? Do I feel like praying today? Do I feel like going to church anymore? And some people, when they go by their feelings, yeah, your flesh doesn't want to go because your spirit wants to rule and reign in your life. And that old nature doesn't want to do that. The last thing your flesh wants to do is die, right? It's self-preservation. So it's trying to hold us back and to get us into the thing. And, you know, some people, well, I'm just taking a break from God. They go, well, that don't work very good when you take a break from God. I mean, that gets us in all kinds of trouble because then the devil comes in. So, does my faith in Jesus Christ depend on my feeling of the day or what the Word says? And it's very important because, you know, what I feel, I don't have that many feelings, but this is what I feel right now. I feel we need some disciplines in our life. We need some disciplines. You know, what are disciplines? You know, that's the way that you do business. See, disciplines are processes by which we live our lives and live out our faith. And we need some. If we don't have a plan, the devil's got one for us. You know what I mean? Now, I have a weird one. I'm going to throw this out. And some people don't like it that I have this one because, you know, on Saturday nights, I don't go out and do much. I know there's a concert in another town. I didn't want to go because I'm in bed by 9 o'clock on Saturday nights because I work today. This is my job. And I don't want to show up tired and only give you 50% of my effort because I'm tired. And I know my body, so I choose to live by that discipline. And it takes an act of Congress for me to change that. That's just how, I know that works for me. It's a discipline that I do, and it's important to me because I really want to try to do my best. I may not, you know, do my best every Sunday, but it's not because I'm not trying. You know what I mean? It's not because I didn't do my homework. It's not because I didn't, you know, put things in line. And that's a discipline that I live by. And I know a lot of people, sometimes they'll stay up to 2 or 3 in the morning on Saturday night. And then they come to church and they sleep. You know, I'm not that entertaining. I know that. And I can't keep you awake. If you only had 2 or 3 hours sleep, man, you know, I understand. I'm not going to tell enough jokes or do anything to keep you alive. We need to raise the dead. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just certain disciplines that we have because there's certain things I want out of life. I want to see the Spirit of God move. I want the Spirit of God to move through me. So that's a discipline that I operate by. You know, I read the Word every day. That's another discipline that I have. You know, I read a little bit of the Bible, and every year I read through the whole Bible. And, you know, that's something that I learned, and I've been doing it since 1985, but that's one of my disciplines that I do. You know, and I pray every day. I do that. I want to. Sometimes my flesh doesn't want to. And, you know, and I have to tell it what to do. But see, there's certain disciplines and things that we need to do, and you need to set some up in your own life. You know, what works for you? What works for me may not work for you. But, you know, it's just important that we have some things set up, and because we need to do that. You know, it's not about, you know, technically, you know, really daily disciplines determine destiny. You know, if we wonder why we're not where we want to be, maybe we're not doing the things that we need to do, okay? Because, like for me, the price I've paid or prayed over the last 20 years, perhaps, has gotten me to a place that I want to be spiritually. You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot that moves me off my game. I mean, you could throw eggs at me right now. You could throw tomatoes, you know, like they did in the old days. You know, rocks, you know, I may move around a little bit. You know, I may duck a few of those. But, you know, I'm not going to stop preaching what God told me to say just because you're throwing stuff at me. Or maybe you're talking bad about me. That don't bother me. You know, my self-image and confidence is not based on your response to my preaching. You know? Now, if everybody goes to sleep at the same time, yeah, I maybe need to shake it up a little bit. I understand that. But I'm not moved, you know, because it's a discipline, you know, and that I've built up, and it just takes a little time to get some of these starting to work. See, it's not about being able to sing the loudest or raise your hands the highest on Sunday, but it's what we do the rest of the week. So when I leave this place, you know, I go out and I try to treat people with respect. I try to treat them with dignity. I try to, you know, I was a sinner myself, a very big sinner. There's not a whole lot that people can do that I don't know that God can change their life. They say, well, I used to do this. Nothing. God can handle that. Blood of Jesus, man, more powerful than that. Easy. That's easy peasy. Come on, give me something tough, you know. God can handle it. You know, God can change lives, and we just need to see that. Now, next scripture I want to look at, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And this is the one that talks about drifting. You know, all the kids on the church van, they want me to drift, you know, go around the corners with the old van. I said, nah, we still need this van a little bit longer. You know, we're not going to drift that corner. But it says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Now, hear what it's talking about in Hebrews. Remember, this was written to Jewish Christians. And what was happening was that some of them were coming to Christ, and then some of them were starting to have some doubts, okay? They were wondering what they've gotten themselves into. Because when you became a Christian, from the Jewish perspective, you walked away from the synagogue, and then you walked into this new thing, and this new thing wasn't as organized as the old synagogue was, you know what I'm saying? In the old synagogue, you know, if you was poor, you could go there and you get alms, you get free stuff, you know, and things like that. And the church was doing that, but they maybe never had the resources, you know, that the Old Testament, that synagogue had. So there was people that were starting to drift and fall away. And it was very difficult, because what this is talking about is when we drift is the fact that there's spiritual sluggishness. And what they were doing is comparing, you know, the writer here was saying, and we don't know who the writer was other than the Holy Spirit for the book of Hebrews, but they were comparing the Old Testament, where the angels would maybe come bring a message and talk, and everybody thought, ooh, that's important. But then here we have Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, brought this message. So which one carries more weight, the angels or Jesus Christ himself? And he was trying to bring people to a conclusion that, hey, Jesus Christ is more important. And this book is called Hebrews, the Book of Betters. It's proving that Jesus Christ is better than all these other things, because what was happening, people was starting to drift. And You know, to me, life is like a river, and we must paddle against the current to overcome the it pulling us away from God. Because we live in the world system, and the world system is heading downstream, heading towards the waterfall, if you know what I'm saying, about ready to go over the edge. But see, the church, we need to resist that. We need to swim against the current. Have you ever went against something? We was on our vacation there a year or so ago, and we took these kayaks out in the ocean. And it was fun, a little bit. Needed to stretch out a little better. I was a little tight in there, you know what I'm saying? I don't bend that way. But anyway, we Denise and I toughed it out. But we had to be careful. Because over on this side is where we started. But the current was taking us over here. And if we quit paddling, like we got tired, we kept going farther away from where we're supposed to be. To where, you know, yikes. You know, we're out here. I think we had life jackets on. Yeah, we did. So I wasn't no concern there for the most part. But we was definitely getting off course. So we had to start paddling to get back to where we're supposed to be. And see, it's like that with our spiritual walk. We have to paddle. We have to continue. There is no neutral. Because if we choose not to resist, then we'll go with the flow. And that's when it can get us into trouble. Now, you may stop paddling for a day. It may not affect you. What happens if we continually not paddle? Because, you know, it tells us here how we can overcome that. It says first to pay closer attention. And this word, when it's put together in the Greek, is kind of several put together, but it's talking about exceedingly more, frequently more, superabundantly more. See a theme here? What he's trying to tell us to do, more today than yesterday and more tomorrow than today. We need to go from glory to glory. Meaning we need to continually be growing. We need to be continually excelling in the things of God. You know, I've said this before. One thing that frustrates me about old people, and I suppose I'd be one of them, is the fact when old people quit. You know, God's got 30 years invested in this person, and all of a sudden they get the bright idea, I'm not going to do anything for God anymore. I'm going to let the young people do it. So let me get this straight. You're going to let stupid people who know nothing about God take your spot. Here you have 30 years experience at this job. You know the ins and outs. You know how to fix things. You know how to do things. You know the voice of God. You know the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And now you're going to stop? Man, I'm not stopping until I die. And even when I die, I'm not stopping. Amen. I'm keeping on going. You know, we need to have that attitude. You know, the older generation, we can help so many people just based on experience, and yet we're walking away. So this is talking about, like I said, from going from glory to glory. It's to hold our mind or ear towards someone, meaning to focus, learning how to deal with distractions. And there's one thing that you can do as you start to mature in Christ is you can learn to deal with distractions, right? Things that bother you or bothered you when you were starting out in life or things, you know, and then all of a sudden you've grown up into a place where the little flies or the little mosquitoes and of the devil don't seem to bother you anymore because you know it's nothing. These things aren't going to hold me back. And see, that's what we gain when we gain experience, you know, in following God. Then we can learn to overcome these things. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, "But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." See, we can't look back into the world system, all the things that the enemy tries to show us that's shiny. And we can't be like that monkey that sticks her hand in the cage and won't let go. See, you and I, we all may not be equal in everything, but it is what we do with what we have is what we're going to be measured by. That's how we're all going to be measured. We're all going to be measured somehow. You know, it's what we do with what we have. And talking about the Bema seat in 1 Corinthians 3, and we're not going to go into that today. But, you know, it's going to test the quality of man's work. Now, last scripture I want to share, for the most part, is Romans 12, 11. And it's a little short verse, but it tells us how we should overcome some of this. It says, "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Very simple. Stay on fire. Now, How do you stay on fire? Now, me and being as old as I am, I'm not so naive to not understand that we can't stay on fire all the time. I mean, for the most part. Maybe you've done it. I don't know. Write a book, baby. Be a bestseller. Every now and then, we all go through a lull, ebb and flow. So what do? Well, if you hang around somebody else that's on fire, they can refire you. You know what I mean? But see, what happens is, you know, it says there in Proverbs 18:1, it talks about, and this is talking back to apathy, it says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against sound wisdom. See, what we need to do is to understand is that do not allow yourself to be cut from the flock. Because if you get cut from the flock, how many's watched them nature movies and all that? Usually the little gazelle who runs away from the herd usually gets eaten by the lion. You know what I'm saying? This is the way it is. That's the way nature works, man. If we allow ourselves to be separated from the church for whatever reason, maybe you thought somebody said something, maybe there's a misunderstanding, maybe, you know, whatever the case may is, maybe you didn't like the song today, whatever, you know. And you allow yourself to get separated from the flock, then you get into trouble. But that's why we need to hang around, and that's why we're starting this new ministry. It's just an old ministry, just refired it again. Starting small groups, trying to get people to build relationships with each other. Because I do know this, that when I don't have fire, and I hang around somebody with fire, my fire starts again. Amen? Amen. Because I need other people. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need a pastor speaking into our life. We need people in our life to be there if we have something we're going through. And that's why we need to not allow ourselves to be separated from the flock. And then it talks about not lagging behind. And this is something I want to challenge us today. Don't lag behind, but push to the front of the pack. You remember in school when we had to go do them jogs around the track? You know, you'd have somebody, they're way up there, and then maybe you were the person, hey, I know, I'm just going to stay in the back. It's easy back here. I don't have to try. You know, I'll get there. But we need to push to the front, meaning we need to have the fire of God. We want to push through. We want to do the best we can. That's why Paul said run to win. You know, we live in a country that gives out ribbons for participation. You know, and I think, you know, one thing I've learned in life is the fact that, you know, we need to go for it. Just go for it. Are you going for it in your Christianity? You know, are you willing to lay it on the line and to want to push to the front to try your best? To really see just what God can do through you? That's a challenge. What can God do through you? Wouldn't you like to find out? I mean, I do. I never would have thought I could have done some of the things I've done until I decided I want it. I want it. And not only do I want it for me, but I want it for you. Because I know what God can do. I know the impact you can make on a nation. Amen. You know what I'm saying? That's powerful. When we allow God to get a hold of our life and just hang on, just see where it'll take us to. Praise God. Thank you. And I want to see that for our church and the people in this church, that we don't allow apathy to come in. We want to stay fervent in spirit. Amen. Let's close in prayer.